Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. My name's Tom Freer, and today in this episode, Josh and I are talking all things SharePoint and data and how you can start leveraging that through your business. It's quite an interesting chat, and we go pretty deep into a few areas. But again, hopefully you get something out of it, and we'd love to hear back from you. Enjoy.
Welcome to another Modern Workplace Hacks with Tom and Josh. Tommy, how are you?
Good, Josh. How you going?
Oh, mate. You used an expression yesterday that I can't repeat probably on our podcast, but you're pretty busy. You're pretty busy. Too busy even to scratch. Let's just say that.
You don't really want to know. Yeah. Anyway, we don't need to talk about that.
But, on to the next one.
Mate, it is. It's been a full-on start to the year.
I've been thinking about it's not going to end.
I hope so.
No, I don't think. I think we're thinking it will, but I still am saying, Mate, and that's not even being optimistic, I don't think. I just think there's a lot of things
there's
happening.
There's a lot happening. Yeah. And what are we in? I don't know. Middle of March. Ridiculous. No.
11th today.
Beginning of March.
Apparently, around there.
The beginning, and I feel like it's December.
Yeah.
So
I reckon you need an Easter holiday.
Have you thought about this? Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, Easter's like in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know, far out. Yeah, anyway. And your to-do list is long. Guys,
a long to-do list, Josh.
Yeah, well, maybe you just need to take the break even though the to-do list. Last time you were pretty good at getting away.
No, I didn't get away. Well, no, I left the office.
Environmental change is as good as a reset.
I did, that is true.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it last time.
Yeah.
But that is very
true. It was in the podcast.
It was. What are we on today? What are we talking about?
Today we're going to cover, guys. The reason Tom is busy is SharePoint is going bonkers this year. People are realizing the power finally. We've probably been beating the drum for a couple of years now, and people are realizing that this is the time to really maximize and utilize. So I want you to sort of give the listeners some insight, I suppose, on what we've been doing and helping clients through that journey, but also just sort of the steps of, are we recording? I hope so.
We are recording.
He just had to look over, guys. Lucky you didn't do the video there. Yeah. We're starting all over again, talking to ourselves. About the sort of the process, because some people may want to go on that journey themselves, and I think they can take some lessons from, I suppose, what we've learnt about the sort of the stages we go through with people that get the most, let's say, the best outcome. And the iterations it takes to sort of get it right. Because I think some people coming to SharePoint with mixed expectations. Sometimes
preconceived ideas as well about what it is, what it has been.
Yeah.
Which
I was one of them. I remember using it 5 years ago and I didn't like it at all. Mm. I wasn't a fan. Now it's not what it was, but I don't think it's totally different.
Well, it is. It's and that's probably where we need to start, I guess. Yeah. So I think the key thing to understand is that if you've got a Microsoft 365 subscription, chances are you've probably already got it.
Yeah.
So I think that's important to note. So we're not having to go actually and buy another license for this thing.
Yeah, it's already in there.
Which is really good, really powerful.
Yeah.
Which sort of aligns with why we're so full on with that Microsoft stack.
Yeah.
There's not much else on the market that can deliver everything from the desktop all the way through and
absolutely
and maintain security and context. So so in that sense, chances are you've already got it sitting there.
Mm.
Now, what you do need to know is that when it's sitting there, it's not going to do anything for you.
Yeah.
And even
just
out of the
there,
box,
it doesn't mean it's
and even out of the
usable.
Box, it's not a platform that you can just really start to use.
Yeah.
It does require a bit of thought and forward thinking about where it fits in the business, how you're going to leverage it. But in that same context, you can do like crazy amounts of stuff.
Well, your imagination really is the limit with this now that I'm saying, especially around just, things that you did manually that can be really, really improved from an efficiency point of view.
Well, and that's important because that's, again, part of that stack is that we have this whole platform that ties into SharePoint and Microsoft 365. That's the Power Apps platform, Power Automate, Flow. We literally can create anything you can conceive. And I don't say that blasé because some of the stuff that our team have actually created is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of it. This is the process that we run in our business. Yeah. Okay, well, let's think that through. Let's map that out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go talk to the dev team. Can we do this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here you go. This is what it looks like. We did one like, oh, this is blowing my mind. We're doing a project with a client at the moment where they've got an existing document management system, and it's really yep. just an archive repository
okay.
that they reference quite often.
Sure.
It's got 800,000 items in it.
Wow.
Right? So it's pretty big.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're looking at how we potentially can move those 800,000 items across into SharePoint.
Mm.
And they're adding to those all the time, so this is yep. an ongoing process.
Yeah.
And that's been interesting because there's been some requirements from the client says, oh, I really need it to be able to do this, and this and
yep.
and view documents in this certain way. And
yep.
and SharePoint by design is a document repository and it can do that, but it has its own particular way of
yeah.
how you view and reference and search and sort and find. Yep. So I put a challenge out to the dev team and said, right, 800,000 documents, this is – going to be hard to search. How do we filter? How do we go?
Yeah.
Mate, they've come back with this wicked little app that sits over the top of it.
Yeah.
Searches really quick, really awesome way to preview documents. So
that's
it keeps
amazing.
Keeps the user within the one context and the one window, and they can yeah. quickly, oh, yeah. So just little things like that. And that's, yeah. you look at SharePoint out of the box and you go, oh, okay, I can do it.
But yeah, yeah.
It may not look impressive,
yep.
pretty, or intuitive, but you can a bit of smarts over
bit
the top of it.
Smarts over top of it, yeah.
And I was blown away. Like this is just what you can do with that platform. We've yeah. created CRM systems. We've created like leave apps and
yep.
skills matrixes and mate, the list goes on. It's really
yeah.
really exciting the stuff that the team have put together.
Yeah, so cool.
Which, as to your point, it's yeah. it's imagination.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can only get to that point, and this is where we'll sort of talk to, is once you've got a framework in place.
Yeah, where do you start?
You've got to have a framework
there. The end point, or not the end point, but that's
– well, that's one of the goals and the destinations.
Yeah.
But one of the challenges that we find is that it is a, well, where do I start sort of scenario. Mm. It is literally a blank canvas when you go to – yourcompany.sharepoint.com.
Yep.
When you create your office environment, yeah, yeah. you have it sitting there, but it is a blank
yeah.
canvas.
Yep.
So what do you do with it?
Yep.
And this is where we sort of step our clients through, and it very much is that journey process of using SharePoint.
Yeah.
You can have the big vision, and you want to have the big vision of what this potentially can encompass.
Which is great.
Which is yep. excellent, because you want to be driving to that, but you don't want to be doing that all in one chunk.
Yeah.
You really want to be chunking this down
yep.
into really bite-sized pieces of work.
Yeah.
I mean, and that bites really depend on the size of the business
and
what you want to do.
Who's involved, yep.
But it's – what we find is it's really about going through three or four key stages.
Okay.
And the yep. first one is really around – that discovery and design.
And is that really sort of, I see, is people don't always understand the breadth of files they have. They've traditionally had a file server or somewhere where they stash all this stuff, and and let's say 40% of it they never even look at, and then 60% of it they call on it occasionally, and then you know,
yeah, and that's where you need to start, and we'll probably clarify that point, is that SharePoint. One of the key functions that we use it for is file storage.
Yep.
So your Word, your Excel, your PDF, whatever,
yeah, which is
all those sort of files to replace that on-premise
yep.
style file server, your
yep.
traditional
yep.
map drive sitting in map drive to a server in the corner of the office or whatever.
Yep.
SharePoint, one aspect of SharePoint is replacing that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's moving your files into an online platform to provide collaboration, to provide security, to provide mobility, all these sort of things, mm. tick, tick, tick.
Yep.
And that's typically where we'll start with most organizations.
I was going to say, is that sort of the starting point, which is let's get it all up there first.
Yep.
That's what I've been saying.
Get that data up there first, but one thing I will say is don't just take what you've got and move it there.
Yeah, okay.
It's not
yep.
going to work.
Yep.
You do need to spend the time to think about the type of data, not necessarily if it's Word or Excel or whatever, but it's
sure.
how does that data relate to each other within the business? So what's relatable data?
Yep.
And how do we currently access it versus, because it will be different. It's not going to have a you don't go with a deep file structure.
Yes.
As you would traditionally see on your F drive on your network, where you've got 16 levels of folders that you will scroll down to get to the file you want.
Okay, yep.
So you've got to think about SharePoint in grouping data.
Yep.
Grouping common sets of data,
sure,
and rolling that up. That,
yep,
that's one aspect to think about.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a good starting place is structure that across your, let's just say, your business units or the divisions in your business.
Yep.
Sales, marketing, operations.
Yep.
Whatever
breaking
that looks
into
like. Departmentalize your business.
Yep.
And getting people a starting point. So again, we're actually going back a step before we even move the file server. So we need to assess what you've got, look at your data, understand your data, think about where that should live in a structural component.
Yeah.
And then go and build that starting point, that framework.
Yep. Yep.
We call it the intranet site. It's the landing page. You want to use SharePoint as the go-to point in your business.
Sure.
I'm going to land here. Excuse me. I'm going to land here and I'm going to get access to all the information that I need to do my job.
Yep.
Now, whether that's a Word document, an Excel, a process, a procedure.
Doesn't matter.
A link. Doesn't matter. You want that one starting point.
Yeah.
And that's where you start. The intranet is, okay, let's get people familiar with that process. Give them a reason to go to this site.
Sure.
And then we'll start bringing in all the data from your other locations.
Yep.
And bring it up there. I'm about to cough again.
Yeah, good. Yeah, he's got it out.
I was giving Josh grief before for coughing everywhere. But,
shocking.
So it's about that. So it's really about getting that framework. But,
yep,
but don't be worried about getting it right from day one either.
Valuable point.
Because your business will change, SharePoint will change.
Yeah.
And that's a key thing for it. You want to design this thing in such a way, you'll design it today.
Yep.
Then 6 months later, you'll go, doesn't quite work the way I want it to, but if I move this site to that location or this data to here, it's going to be more effective for me. And that's the beauty of it once it's up there.
Yeah.
You're not locking yourself into a framework. And if you're doing this in bite-sized chunks as well, you can adjust and pivot
as you
progress. This is a very agile style environment. Whereas if you went, this is my big picture and I'm going to spend massive amounts of time and money designing the big picture, it's going to take you a lot longer to get to that endpoint.
Sure.
And then by the time you deliver it, you're now already making changes to something that's may not actually be live.
Yeah, so be a bit more agile.
Be very agile about how you go about this. Set those stage gates. And that's how we structure with our clients. It's about, let's do that discovery session. Let's really provide some education, some insight into the tools you've got available, how they work, how they interact, what are the challenges you're facing in the business? Because there'll be this process doesn't work, or I can't find this data, or my team are out on the road and they can't get access to the files. And whatever those challenges are, know what they are, design a framework for it, build that framework, brand it, personalize it, make it your own, get people engaged with it, then start moving data into it.
Yeah.
Then start doing the fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The forms, the workflows, the data capture, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the bit that's going to add the biggest amount of value to your process and your business.
Yep.
But you've got to set that stepping stone first, and you're going to get value out of those bits as you go through.
Yeah, I was going to say, even stage one, I've seen people when they get transparency over what they actually have, it provides them with a massive relief around understanding where their information is in their business.
Well, and that's it, and getting access to that information. Like we can solve a hell of a lot of problems in getting that structure and getting the data moved up there.
Mm.
And it's not a huge project in that sense, but we've had I've got clients and they're mobile. They've got to connect to the VPN. They've got to connect to the network drive. They've got to download that file. They've got to find it. Okay, yep, that's the one I want.
Mm.
Well, moving them to that SharePoint environment, they go to the site that they know the files are, they can search and it'll bring up everything related to that. We could have them go to an app, we could have them go to wherever, but the search capability, the ability to have that file at your fingertips on your phone, on a tablet, on your PC, at home, in the office, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're accessing the same data, the same file.
Mm.
And the other thing is you're not having to copy and sync stuff all over your machine.
Yeah.
We're all connected. Let's be real. We are connected all the time. There is not really a spot where you'll be where you don't have connectivity.
Yeah.
Even on the plane. And I caught a plane for the first time in 12 months yesterday or the other day. And still have Wi-Fi, I can still connect.
Yeah.
So
good.
That whole And it used to be a challenge. I can't get access, so I need to copy the file to my machine and work on it. I think personally it's a non-issue now.
Yes.
You go on, everything's online. You're connected.
Yep.
Your laptop, you can get a SIM card for your laptop. You can tether to your phone.
100%.
You've got gigs and gigs of data on all your plans and those type of things. So I think connectivity is no longer the barrier. There's barriers around performance and speed, and if you're regional and stuff like that, there's considerations. But really identify where you're going to be because most of the time you can
understand what you're accessing.
Understand what you're accessing. So that is that sort of one and two stages, discover and design what it is.
What do you got?
Write down that big picture. Write down the 10 processes that need to be developed and really understand that. Yeah. But you want to then hone in on getting the framework right and then really focus on the one or two that are either the low-hanging fruit where you can get a quick win with high value return or something that we might have to invest a bit more time in, but we know that the return and the value of the business is there. And there's always that opportunity there. Mm. So,
and the engagement factor, I think as well, you touched on before, is really important about getting people in the business to come there for a reason, that engagement.
You've got to get them there for a reason because it is change. Now, people are always resistant to change. That's just nature of people. So one, you've got to give them a reason to go to here, and sometimes that reason is forced. Well, you can't access that file anywhere except here now, so go here. Get them engaged in it, start using it, and then the rest will come.
You'll have
high adopters in your business. I don't actually remember what the percentage are, but within your business is a percentage of people who are early adopters, and they will jump on it and use it, and then the rest will start to get it. And then you're always going to have those that just are resistant to change, but if this is where they have to go there to get that file, to get that process. 100%. And the idea is as you move more of those functions into that over time, is that the consistency in your data collection is going to improve, the consistency in your reporting, because we want to move away from that printed out document where you're capturing information, then it's getting written out on email to someone and then someone's re-entering it. Well, let's just get it entered at the source accurately the first time.
Yeah.
It might seem like a little bit of, well, actually it's not any extra work for someone to go to a tablet and enter in a form than it is for them to go find the form, print the form, write on the form, scan the form, send it to someone else who's then got to enter it somewhere.
Yeah.
So we're cutting time and making people more efficient.
Yeah.
So that's really, really it. And getting to that point and the key element around those process things is there has to be a design element around those. You have to map out what it is that you want to do. You can't automate or make a process electronic that's a bad process.
It's
not going to work.
Yeah, 100%.
So you have to spend the time to map that out and get clear in your mind what it's going to be, but you're not tied to that process. Get it in, iterate.
Yeah.
Iterate and change.
Yep.
Okay, look, there's cost in that, but you've got to get that balance.
Yes.
Spend that time up front, get 80, 90% of that process nailed out. Okay, this is what we want it to look like on paper.
Yep.
Let's go and develop that. Let's go build it, whether it's a one-day sort of development or a 10, whatever that needs to be, depending on the complexity of it.
Yes.
Build it out, use it, refine it. Know that there's going to be bugs in it. Know that it may not be 100% from day one because you want people using it as fast as possible so you can get it fixed as fast as possible.
Yeah, definitely.
If we keep it insulated for too long, and we've been we've had these challenges before where we've looked at it for so long and so long, and it's been the same people looking at it that we're just repeating the same issues.
Yes.
We need to get new sets of eyes into some of this because it's new to the business.
Yeah.
It's a new process. You've got to let people see it and use it to know where the issues are.
Yeah, yeah.
And just be comfortable with that. Mm. Be comfortable that it's not going to be perfect from day one.
Yes.
Because it's new to you as a business.
Yeah.
This is a new way of doing things.
Mm.
You can write you can have your manual process and your form and it's probably got issues in it now. So you've got to give the technology a bit of a break. In that sense, but just know that it will get there. And I think that's kind of one thing to keep in mind is that it needs to be an iterative approach. You need to be agile with your approach, but you need to get it. It needs to be a faster market style thing.
100%. Yeah. Sort of make quick decisions, not depending that they're going to be the decisions that you're going to make in 6 months.
And I think that's really important.
And I think that's, that's the world we live in now as well.
There's
the unknown factor, and people have got to embrace that a little bit because they're the people we're seeing that are getting the best outcomes. Those people that kind of dive into it a bit, you know, get their hands dirty, mess around with it, and then go, actually, I think if we change these couple of things, you know.
It may seem counterintuitive at times to do that, but if you are embracing it quickly and doing it, you're not actually going to be wasting that much time or effort in developing it, because if you spend 6 months trying to map the process to every little detail and then go and develop it and then roll it out, you're now at 6 and 9 months in your project, things change.
Yeah.
And 100%. The business has changed, and you've developed this thing and people are going, oh, no, we changed that form 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, well. Yeah. Let's go back and
start again.
So, look, it's a balance. You've got to get that balance right. Yep. It's not an open checkbook style scenario. No, you definitely don't want that. You want to make sure you've got fixed structures and fixed gates around these things. Okay, yep. What is that minimum we want to get to? This is what it needs to look like. Right, we're getting to here. What's the next bit? But it's not leaving it open-ended. You need to have those definitions of what you would constitute as successful.
Yep.
Definitely, that has to be there.
Yep.
But don't be so hard on yourself and rigid around that. If it's going to change at that point, because you just got to allow for it.
Yeah.
So if that makes sense, but
definitely,
there's always that design. There's that framework development. And this is particular to SharePoint. Design it out from where's your data, what it is, what are the challenges you're having. Understand what that is. Here's a framework to start with. Here's some key elements that we want to deliver. Okay, we want this to be engaging. We want to make sure that people have a reason to go there, start using it, bring your rest of your data sets up, then really start to look at what those workflow improvements can be using forms and lists and tracking of data and information.
Yeah, sure.
So, and that's probably the element. But then the final point is always refine. Go back through. Don't think it's static.
Yep.
Your business will change. It's allowed to change. SharePoint will adapt. Your processes can adapt. That's not an issue. So keep that continuous improvement cycle in there.
Yes.
Whether it's once a quarter, once every 6 months, once a year, it doesn't matter. Just have that checkpoint to go, is this structured the way that we want it to be? We're doing that with a client at the moment. They've had SharePoint in for probably about 18 months.
Yep.
And we've gone through now and spent considerable amount of time working with the business units, what's working, what's not working.
Yeah.
What more do you want from it? What are the processes that you have in your department that you think could be electronic or better. So we've developed that out now, and here's the plan for the next little while about, let's restructure SharePoint. We're not deleting or moving. We're moving data around and giving it a fresh look and giving people a reason to go there. And now we're introducing these key functional changes to the way they request information between departments. Currently they're sending emails or messages on Teams, and they can't track it, they can't audit it, they can't do anything. Three or four little forms and a couple of lists, and we've solved like a heap of problems about their auditing and tracking processes.
Absolutely.
So, and that's just getting to understand the process and people getting to understand the platform as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think sometimes it does take that, say, 6 months or 12 months, even just for people to get their head around, oh, actually, there is a better way for me to do it. And also, I could change this one thing because I've just uploaded a process the way we've already done it and digitized it, and maybe that's not the best way to do it.
Yeah, that's right. But I think there's an element. You've got to use it and understand first it and feel comfortable with it before you can then start thinking about the future. And once you're in there, the requests, you just start coming through.
Yep.
Hey, have we thought about this? Have we thought about that?
Yeah.
So that's SharePoint, Power Apps. Remember, and part of that design aspect up front is SharePoint, where Teams interfaces with that.
Interesting one. I'm glad you brought that up, because
that's a big challenge.
People try to do them in isolation, right?
Can't.
Yeah.
Can't isolate them. So SharePoint and Teams have to be done together. Yes, there's functions in Teams that you can do in isolation.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about data storage and collaboration, you need to be thinking about that as part of your overall strategy about where it fits in. You might not use Teams in that way from day one, and that's perfectly fine, but just know where it fits in the process, because it in itself is a super powerful tool done right. But what we see is that too many people start to isolate and silo data inside Teams because they haven't taken into consideration the wider business.
Yep.
Teams is great for your working groups.
Yeah, yeah.
Project-based working groups, so those that you work with on either a project or within a department. Groups within a department.
Sure.
Doesn't have to be a full department team.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to differentiate there is
yeah.
who actually needs to collaborate together on what type of work
yep.
is where your teams fit. We can link in SharePoint very easily at the back end to say, well, I'm in the finance group, but I need to collaborate with my delivery team leaders. Okay, so let's create a specific team for that. But all the data that they need to access is already on the two SharePoint sites at the back end. So we're just going to link that up.
Yeah,
they can now chat and communicate by looking at the same data that's already on SharePoint, and the rest of the business still has access to what they need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just getting that structure right.
Yeah. And
thinking through it up front at the beginning.
Yeah.
Now, Teams is one where I guarantee you'll never get the structure right from day one. And it's designed to chop and change.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what you got to think of about it is.
Yeah, it's quite nimble.
It needs to be. Yeah. So think about it, project-based, working group-based. You could work with someone for 2 days on a project and then turn that team off.
Yeah, and people don't get that.
That's all you need to do.
It's fixed forever. But
yeah,
no.
You want to be spinning up teams, turning them off, moving them, inviting people in, kicking them out, delivering the project, and then moving that final bit of data or whatever the outcome is
up to
the
SharePoint. Yeah, sure.
Yep. So that's where it fits in. So lots of moving parts, and it does sound there are some things that sort of overlap and seem complicated, but just keep it simple.
Yeah, one step at a time.
Really strip it back as simply as you can and just think about the specific functions that each of those need to deliver and specifically what the outcomes your individuals in the business need because you might have people who need to collaborate on data day in, day out, which will be in a team.
Yes.
But you don't want the rest of the business to see that noise. Mm. They just want to see the output.
Yeah.
So you don't invite everyone into that one team just because they need to access those particular files.
Yes.
Get the structure on SharePoint. That's where everyone else goes in to see the output.
Yeah.
They can access the files. They don't have to see the collaboration.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it does get noisy. And I've
teams heard, can get very
yeah,
noisy.
Yeah. Yeah, so
yeah,
people need to keep that in
and
mind.
And it will change again. There's another change element in there about what you use Teams for.
Mm.
Now we've got multiple collaboration and communication methods.
Mm.
Do we send that in an email? Do we send it as a direct message? Do we chat about it in the team? You've got to think about those little things within the context of your business about what makes sense.
Yep.
Teams will reduce noise in your email, but if it's too noisy over here, you haven't achieved anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just want to get that focused.
Yeah.
And that's again thinking about things like in our business, for example, we went to Teams and we do a lot of collaboration on Teams, but now people have started sending me voice messages on Teams.
Yeah.
Such and such call, can you ring them back?
Yeah.
That's no good to me
in
Teams because there is so much activity and that's not where I go and reference stuff. So you've got to have those processes in place within a business and at a level to say, this is how we do things in the business.
Yep.
For phone messages, you will send a phone message via email. That's the rule in our business. Don't send it via Teams because it will get
lost.
It will get lost. Teams isn't necessarily that instant chat, that sort of thing, is not for stuff that needs to be actioned in the future.
Definitely.
It is for stuff that needs to be done now that's appropriate. We need
back and forth.
I need to collaborate on this now. Josh, are you available?
Yep.
Can I ask you 3 questions? Bang, bang, bang. Yep. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, good. I can continue on my task.
Yeah, sure.
But you've got to have boundaries and rules
and that.
And that's something to consider in your business as well. So,
mate, fantastic. Lots of good stuff overview.
Yeah.
And I think, we're just going to see more and more of it and people embracing it at different parts. I think some people dive in deep and then some people do bit by bit. And I think that's a great thing about SharePoint. There's no necessarily right or wrong. There's a few, obviously, best practices, but people can sort of engage it at their own.
Yeah, at their own pace and where they're up to. And if you've got it there, just maybe take a bit of time and understand a bit more about it. Talk to your partners, talk to us. We're happy to have a chat to you about about what it is, how it works, how things, because you're probably using Teams already. You'll be using OneDrive. You'll be using all these little bits and pieces. But think about it, you've got to just start thinking about them in that bigger picture and what you can do. You've got access to all these tools there. We haven't even touched on the other 400 apps that are in there. Not 400. There's a lot.
There's a lot in there.
There's a lot in there. So, yeah.
Next podcast. Applications of Microsoft.
There what do you go. Want to know? Send in your requests.
Yeah, send the requests.
We'll have a chat. That's a good one. Like that's, yeah, send yeah. us in if there's something you want us to talk about in that stack or something specific you want us to go deep on.
Yeah.
Let us know. We're happy Absolutely. To happy to have a chat.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Josh. Catch ya.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. Hope you got some value. We'd really love for you to subscribe to the podcast or follow us on YouTube and LinkedIn. Look forward to bringing you some more episodes soon.